you know that before I had the lead role position, I was the student minister here at South Rock. The church that I was at beforehand, I was the youth minister, but that meant that you were in charge of high school all the way down to nursery. So I have taught my fair share of children's church lessons and love those kind of things. So I'm always looking for creative ways just to be able to learn things. And so today, as part of the service, we're going to watch a clip that we might watch if you were in children's church. And so I know some of you are just big kids, so you're going to enjoy this aspect. If you don't worry about it. You're not going to hear from me in a few weeks, so that's totally great. But I want you to be able just to enjoy as this kind of sets up the text that we're going to be looking at. So enjoy the video.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus forgives Peter. This is Peter.
Hey-o! Whoop!
Peter was a fisherman who was called by Jesus.
Hey!
Peter saw the many miracles of Jesus, and he heard all of his teachings. When the time came for Jesus to die and take away the sins of all the world, Jesus had one final meal with his friends. During this meal, Jesus told his followers that the time had come for him to leave them.
Huh?
Peter asked, "Where are you going?" Jesus told him Peter couldn't follow him now.
What?
But that he would follow him later.
Wait a second.
But Peter said, "Why can't I come now? I'm ready to die for you." Jesus said, "Die for me? Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even knew me." Then Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives so Jesus could pray. Along the way, Jesus told his followers that they would all abandon him.
Uh-oh.
But Peter said, "Even if everyone else leaves you, I never will." Jesus said, "Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." But Peter wouldn't believe it and vowed that he would stay with Jesus until the very end. The other disciples vowed the same.
Yeah, I do.
Later on that night, Jesus was arrested by men sent by the religious teachers and priests. Peter tried to fight for Jesus, and he cut off the ear of one of the guards. But Jesus healed the guard and went quietly with the captors. All the disciples scattered just as Jesus told them they would. The men led Jesus away to the house of the high priest. Peter and another disciple followed them. Peter came to warm himself by their fire.
Hello.
A servant girl noticed him in the firelight.
Huh?
Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers."
Oh, ma?
But Peter denied it for the first time. He said, "I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them."
Oh.
Peter, for a second time, said, "No, I'm not."
Okay.
About an hour later, a man who knew the man whose ear Peter cut off said, "Didn't I see you in the olive grove with Jesus? This must be one of them. He comes from the same place as all of them."
Yeah, you're right.
But Peter said,
No.
"I don't know what you're talking about." And then Peter heard the crow of the rooster. Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Jesus' words flashed through his mind, and Peter left the courtyard weeping. Then Jesus died and was placed in a tomb. The disciples heard that he had come back from the dead. Peter even saw the empty tomb and believed that Jesus was alive again.
Woo-hoo!
And Jesus appeared to the disciples to show him that he was alive. Some of Jesus' followers were together when Peter said, "I am going fishing."
Okay.
So they all went out to the sea, but caught nothing all night. At dawn, they saw a man standing on the beach.
Oh, hey, over here.
The man called out to them and said, "Have you caught any fish?"
Nope.
The man said, Throw out your net on the right side and you'll get some.
Okay.
So they did, and they couldn't bring in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then one of the men on the boat said to Peter, "It's Jesus." When Peter heard that it was Jesus, he swam to the shore while the others pulled in the load to the boat. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them.
I miss a fish. Got it.
Jesus said, "Come have some breakfast." While they were eating, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, you know I love you." So Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs." Then Jesus asked again, "Do you love me?" Peter said again, "Yes, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Then take care of my sheep." And then a third time, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. So he said, "You know everything. You know that I love you." So Jesus said one last time, "Then feed my sheep." And so Peter went on to feed Jesus' sheep by helping establish the church and by writing books that we can now read in the Bible. And though he denied Jesus, he was forgiven. And many came to know the love and forgiveness of Jesus through Peter.
So some of you probably learned more from that video than you're going to learn from me, and that's okay. But if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 21. Because as we're looking at Peter, like there are some wow moments that he has in his life. At the beginning, when he is in the boat and Jesus then does this miraculous catch of fish, Peter falls and just says, "I am a sinful man." And Jesus looks at him and says, "I want you to follow me. Like, I will make you a fisher of men." Like we studied a few weeks ago about when Jesus is asking, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And he says, "You are the Christ." And we see him saying, "You know, I am willing to lay down my life for you. I will go wherever you want." And then there's moments that are those non-wow moments with Peter. And so, you know, right after saying that you're the Christ, says some things that then Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then as was portrayed there, the night that Jesus really could have used his disciples continuing to be by his side, he denied even knowing Jesus, saying, "I do not know that man," three different times. But Jesus doesn't stay dead. He rises from the dead. Now, unlike the video when like the two disciples run and they see the tomb, they're like, "Oh, we believe. We've been studying so far that it wasn't that quick for them." But we did realize that Jesus appeared to Peter. Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples and then to 11 with Thomas there that we studied last week. And then even this week in John chapter 21, the first part, there is this breakfast meal that while these disciples, there's about seven of them in the boat and they realize who it is. Peter does jump into the water and quickly get there and they have a meal with Jesus. And then there's a conversation that happens that even while watching this video, sometimes I begin to tear up because I realize what really happened with the life of Peter and what Jesus does with him. And so I have you opened up to John chapter 21. I want to read verses 15 through 17 as we kind of just jump in to what we're looking at today. It says this, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Well, yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Now, I want to just kind of do some observations kind of about this text that some you maybe caught, some of you didn't. Right off the bat, when Jesus is talking to Peter, he doesn't call him Peter. He doesn't call him Cephas. He calls him Simon, which was the name that he was given before Jesus came and said, "You will be rock." And so I don't think he's pulling anything away from Peter as far as long term, but I do think he's being intentional about calling him Simon as he begins this conversation with him. And he asks this question, "Do you love me more than these?" Okay, now the way the Greek word is with these, it could imply a couple different things. Some people feel like it means, do you love me more than fishing and fish and this lifestyle? So that's a possibility. But I think really what Jesus is implying is, do you love me more than these as far as the other apostles? Now, why would he ask that question? Like, you can't know the heart of everybody else. Do you really love me more than these other people? But I think the reason he asks that is because back in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33, Peter had said, even if all else betray you, I will not. And I think Jesus is coming back here going, do you really love me more than all of these? And at this question, Peter simply says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so Jesus says, feed my lambs. And again, the tense that word feed is in is a continual action. So not just one time, continue to feed my lambs. So then the question is asked a second time, but this time there's no, do you love me more than these? It's just Simon, do you love me? Still using the word Simon. And he says, yes, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, so take care of my sheep. Okay, the idea of take care, it's a continual action, but it's not just feeding this time. It's the idea of shepherding, overseeing, watch over my flock. And so then we get to the same question a third time. And the text tells us that Peter is hurt because Jesus has asked this three times. And I don't know if maybe he's hurt just because, did you not get it on the first or second time? Like, why are you asking me this again? I also don't know if he kind of puts two and two together and realizes that there was three times that I say, I do not know you. And you're asking me three times, do I love you? And so in this moment, he says, you know all things. Like, Jesus, you know my heart. You know that I love you. And so Jesus says, feed my sheep. So kind of just looking at this text, we've seen the kid version. We've seen kind of like just the initial observations with a couple Greek kind of helpful things to understand the text. But if you've heard this passage preached before, or you've done any kind of in-depth study, you might be sitting there right now going, Andy, you missed a really big part, okay? And if you're like, whoa, I have no idea what you're talking about, you're about to find out, okay? What people often hear with this text is the word love. Like, we have the English word love that covers a lot of different types of love, but in this context, there's actually two different words for love that are used. One is agape, which is the type of love that is a unconditional love. It is a sacrificial kind of love. It is not a feeling. Okay, so that's one of the types of love used here. The other one is the word phileo. And so that is kind of like the brotherly friendship kind of love, and there's a warmth to it. And so both of those are actually used within our text. And so you may have heard someone say, when you understand that, that even adds more depth to the passage. So I want to explain that just a moment, but I'm actually going to open your eyes to even more things that don't get talked about very often. And so we have a chart for you to be able to kind of follow along here up on the screen, okay? That will help you kind of know some of this Greek stuff. Some of you are like, yep, I don't care. That's okay. Enjoy the kids' video, okay? But for some of you, this is super helpful. The idea of love, if you look, Jesus says, you know, do you love me? And the first two times he uses the word agape, do you sacrificially love me? And Peter responds saying, I phileo you, you know, I brotherly love you kind of thing. And then you get to the third time where Jesus changes his word. And it says, then do you phileo me? And then Peter answers that, yes, I do. And so some people will tell you the reason behind all of that is that Jesus is trying to get Peter to even draw deeper in his love with Jesus. There's a definite possibility of that. Although I've also seen a couple scholars say, well, Peter's specifically using this word because he wants the warmth, not just the love out of duty. And again, I don't know either way, but here's a couple more thoughts before we dive into anything else, just as we're talking about this idea of love. That there are times that John uses both of those words actually to communicate the same kind of idea. Like, there's two times in John chapter 3:35 and John 5:20 where he writes that the Father loves the Son. One of those times he uses agape, and one of those times he uses the word phileia. Or John also refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Four of those times, he uses the word agape, and one of those times, he uses the word phileo. And so, yes, there's a possibility that Jesus is trying to get Peter deeper in his type of love, but there's also a sense that maybe John uses some of those words kind of as synonyms back and forth trying to communicate something. In fact, Jesus, when he was speaking, probably was speaking in Aramaic. And so here's John writing in Greek. And so how do I communicate what Jesus has communicated to Peter in this conversation? And so maybe that's why he uses a couple of those different words. I'll let you kind of decide what you think on all that, but that wasn't the only word that was different. And so back on our chart, we see the idea of know, like you know that I love you. That idea of oida is an intellectual kind of knowledge, like you know that I love you, whereas the last kind, when Peter speaks that gnosko, that's more of an experiential or a personal kind of know. You know, you have experienced that I love you. You already saw the difference between feeding and taking care, the idea of feeding and overseeing, so we see the difference there. And then even the idea of sheep, like one word is for the little lambs and one is for adult sheep. And so you can dive into that as much as you want with the Greek words, but I wanted to point those things out to you. But here's the bigger thing that I want to point out. Like as we step back, instead of just looking at the trees, but you look at the entire forest, like the meaning and the purpose of this passage is clear. Like Jesus is wanting Peter to be able to feel forgiveness. He is wanting to restore him. He is looking at him and saying, do you love me? And if you do, then I want you to feed my sheep. Now, if we kind of just step away from the knowledge side, okay, the things of, hey, let me learn this, can we put ourselves in Peter's shoes and kind of understand the meaning, like how meaningful this would have been to him? Because again, I imagine it sometimes it clicks, and being asked once, twice, the third time, do you love me, probably brings up those painful memories. When I did not do what I should have done as a faithful follower, as a friend, when I turned my back and I let fear win out. Man, that painful reminder, but even in this moment, Jesus is kind. Like, yes, Peter, you have failed, but you are still valuable. And even though I am gently chastising you, I want you to understand that you still have the keys to the kingdom. You are being restored, fully restored. And Peter then affirms his love for Jesus. And I also think that this probably was a big deal to the other disciples there too, because they see the way Jesus is interacting with Peter and probably squelches any kind of doubts that maybe they had as well. And so we see this idea, Jesus asking him, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do, and so feed my sheep. So let's read verses 18 and 19 just to kind of finish up the passage that we're looking at. So Jesus then continues saying, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went out or went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. And so in these two verses, we basically see that Jesus is saying, hey, you've gotten to do what you want, but there will be a time that you don't get to do what you want. What happens is you are going to be stretched out. And John even records for us that that means that he is predicting the type of death that Peter is going to experience. That yes, you may have failed me in this moment, but you are going to be faithful up to the very end. And if you look at history, somewhere between 67 and 68 AD, under Nero, Peter was crucified. Like there are multiple sources that tell us that. Now, there's also tradition, and it's found in one source, that Peter, when it was time to be crucified, he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus was, and so he requested to be crucified upside down. And there's a chance that that definitely happened. It was found in the Acts of Peter, and there's some legendary stuff in there, but there's also some historical cores to that, and I will tell you that tradition has kind of believed that. And so Peter was stretched out and faithful to the end. And in fact, by the time John wrote this letter, Peter had already been killed. And so even in this, I think John explains to people, this was said already, this is going to happen, and so we see it played out. And at the very end, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, follow me. I still want you to be a fisher of men. And if you're to continue on the context reading, we're not today, you'd see like Peter then goes, well, what about John? You know, if this is going to happen to me. And so there's a context there. But what I really want to do is look at this in light of Peter and his life. And so here's what I would just tell you, looking at this text, I mean, five short verses, some things that I see. The first word would be the idea of forgiveness. Like I see forgiveness here that Jesus offers to Peter. In fact, it's done with a visual representation. That for each time you said these words, now I'm having you say this. Now understand, that doesn't mean that forgiveness is works oriented, okay? It doesn't mean, okay, if I do enough good things, I'm gonna offset the bad. That's not what happens, but I think Jesus is helping him to realize you are fully forgiven. And I want you to understand that you are still loved. I see forgiveness. But I also see this idea of follow. Like we heard this word, follow me. That's what Jesus says at the very end. He says, I want you to follow me to the very end of your life. And so when things get difficult, when everything is going great, wherever I lead you, I want you to follow after me. And so even in spite of what he'd done, like Jesus still says, I want to use you. And then the other word that kind of just jumps out is this idea of feed. We looked at feed my sheep, my lambs, take care of them. You still have a job to do. Like, even though you are with me, I am calling you to care for the flock, to help lead the church. That's what I'm entrusting with you. And so then, if I just think about us, those three things are still really important to us today. Like if we talk about that word forgiveness, every single one of us needs forgiveness. Like I wonder, when's the last time that you denied Jesus with your words? Or maybe by being silent, or maybe by your actions. Or when was the last time that maybe your deeds did not show that you loved Jesus in that moment? Or maybe even as you sit here and think back, it's like, man, time and time and time again, I fail, and on my own, I am not worthy. And yet, Jesus says that you are still loved. It is not performance-based. You are still loved. And if you have chosen to receive my forgiveness, the God of the universe is not against you. You get to live in freedom. So I see that idea of forgiveness being huge, but I also see the word of follow and the idea that you and I, we still have a call to follow, that we are to be with him, that we are to be his child, that we are to be his disciple. That means a learner, that we are to obey, not just sit on the sideline, that we are to do that all the way up to the very end of our life here on this earth. And I wonder if Jesus came and sat right next to you right now and looked at you and said, do you love me? What would your answer be? Is it a yes? Is it a no? Is it a maybe? I'm kind of sometimes. You know, if we're talking about this idea of following, my question to you is, are you still faithfully following? Or even maybe today, do you want to choose to begin following after him? Because that's the call to every one of us. The last word is the idea of feed. Feed my sheep. And I get it that probably none of us, God is going to call to be the entire leader of the church worldwide, all that kind of stuff. He may not even call you to be the leader of a church or be on a staff in ministry at some point, although I wouldn't rule it out. Sometimes we do that. There's no way God could use me that way, but sometimes he wants to. But I will tell you that every single one of us, he wants you to serve. He wants you to be his hands and feet, to be the light in a world full of darkness. You know that great commission at the end where he says, go and take this to all nations? That is not just for paid ministers. That is for every one of us who have said, yes, I want to follow. And so you and I, we are saved not by the works that we do, but if you look at scripture, we are saved to do good works. Because of what Jesus has done, we should go and help others. And so will you encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you share the gospel with other people? Will you feed his sheep? I'll just tell you, as we read these five verses, like it's kind of easy to connect to Peter. Like I see this passage here that is both humbling and yet amazing. Humbling in the fact of being rebuked for the choice that you did, but man, at the exact same time that you are restored. And Peter standing in front of Jesus, I'm sure just hearing this idea that you are loved and you are forgiven. You are wanted. And now you're also being sent. In those same words, Jesus could come and sit and look directly eye to eye to you and say, you are loved and you are forgiven and you are so wanted and I am sending you. And so for the rest of this service, we're going to just spend time focusing on him. We are singing to the one that there is no one like him, the one who delivers us, the one who makes you enough, the one who gives you eternal peace, the one who wants you to love him back. And so if today is the day that you're like, I'm ready to say yes to following after him, or I am ready to receive his forgiveness, I don't want to carry this guilt and shame and everything, man, I want that. And during this service, I would encourage you to head over to the prayer room. We would love to pray with you and help you with that journey. But for the rest of us, as we're here, I simply would want you to think about, if Jesus were to say, do you love me? The response to everything else that we're doing now is simply, yes, Jesus, I love you. Will you guys stand as we sing?